The Addams Family, Wonder Woman, The Green Hornet, Bonanza, Murder, She Wrote, The Mod Squad, Honey West, Ironside. Just some of the series which have benefited from the writing and producing genius of Arthur Weingarten. And now the legendary writer is live on the Midweek Drive. Prepare to be amazed.
And of course you have been, Claire, haven't you? Ace solicitor, legal bod and wonderful soul, because Arthur has written many of your all-time favourite series.
Oh, it's been a trip down memory lane looking at this. T.J. Hooker, Bring Him Back Alive, all these ones were fantastic.
We don't talk about Bring Him Back Alive recently. It's just one of those things which... You know, It's nice for Bruce Boxleitner, but the kind of the ecological scenarios there, it's best not to, not with Alexandra Bastido in Animal Sanctuaries. Yeah. Just a thought there. Arthur, welcome back to the show. It seems like only 4 weeks ago since we were last speaking to you, and lo and behold, here we are in the July featurette. It's marvellous. So, Claire, questions for Arthur, because we haven't actually specified anything at this particular moment in time. We're sort of freewheeling from that perspective. Anything you'd like to sort of put to Arthur at this stage?
I'd just like to know, I mean, which were your favourite of these? I mean, these programmes were great. They sort of formulated my teenage years, really.
Were they responsible for you becoming a member of the legal profession? T.J. Hooker, seeing that you always get the bad guys.
No, I can't say so. No. Sorry, okay. I wish I could.
Mod Squad?
But so what was your favourite then, Arthur? What did you enjoy working on most?
Actually, the one that I liked the best was Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, another classic.
Absolutely. Mm.
Yeah. It had all the elements of fantasy with just enough touch of reality, but the people involved, both behind and in front of the camera, were really fascinating. And really nothing else had been like it. It predated the Bonds and all of that. So, I enjoyed that. But then there are other things that I don't think you've ever heard of that died a mourning that I really enjoyed even more.
The beauty of the TV world, though, that you never quite know what's going to become a classic, what's going to actually become fondly remembered. It's the old sort of notion, if you knew what was a hit, where you'd bottle it and put the thing together. I've just got to throw in a little quiz question here, Arthur. I mean, you will know the answer to this. Claire might know the answer to it. I do, but I suspect Ed and indeed Holly probably won't. The Man from U.N.C.L.E., actually, UNCLE was an acronym for something. Do you know what the acronym was, Ed?
No idea, sorry.
No. Holly? No. It's not, it's like ostrich, outrageous suggestions taken readily in courageous hands. Claire?
I'm sorry.
No!
Can't help with that one. Don't know that one.
So United Network Command for Law and Enforcement would have lost you from that
Obviously.
Point of view.
Why well, didn't I think
or
of that?
Possibly United Nations, I've heard it described as. But I think it was United Network,
I'll
Arthur.
I'll tell you a quick little story about that. When we were assembling the show there were about 15 hands involved from MGM hierarchy down through Norman Felton, who created the show. They said, well, what are we going to call this? We love the idea and we bought it, but what are we going to call it? And everybody had their own idea. And Norman kept very quiet, and he said, it's the Man from U.N.C.L.E. when finally they looked to him. And everyone stopped, and they said, well, that's intriguing. What is U.N.C.L.E.? He says, beats me. That was it.
And fine.
We had to make up what it would mean.
Exactly. First broadcast on NBC from September the 22nd, 1964. Oh, I remember it well. To January the 15th, 1968. And generally a classic sort of series with, of course, David McCallum, who's still going strong in NCIS, and Robert Vaughan, who's also been going strong in Hustle over this side of the Atlantic. And it's well worth getting hold of the Robert Vaughan autobiography. I think it's going to be second only to Annette Andre's autobiography in terms of quality autobiographies to actually follow through, really. But a nice line. Obviously, Leo G. Carroll, as Mr. Waverley, sadly no longer with us. He passed on. You, of course, worked for both The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
One of the most delightful people, it was my privilege to know. He just was a gem, that fellow. And he had so many stories to tell that we used to be late to getting back to the stage from the lunchroom. He was a raconteur.
Well, he was in North by Northwest. He could talk about Alfred Hitchcock and a whole range of other factors.
But I mean, he went back to silent film. Mm. in England and stage and touring, and I mean he knew everyone, and he was so delightfully reticent. So you'd say to him, no, please tell me. Oh, all right. And then he'd be off and running for a half an hour.
Much like yourself, yeah. Arthur. But, you know, it's quality, yeah, sort of, we'll work through that. In fact, you've already identified what the August theme is going to be. It'll be an uncle-themed month. I've decided now. We'll definitely sort of work that. Nobody, amazingly enough, could ever come up with an acronym. I think I heard it once that there was a try for the Arch Nemesis, the organisation. Now, do you remember the name of the organisation that Uncle obviously went up against almost week in, week out? So it was,
Going back too far here,
Thrush.
Alison, I'm afraid.
Thrush. That's it. Not to be confused with any sort of nasty little infectious thing. It was called Thrush.
Well, there I'm going to tell you, because that was a writer by the name of Norman Perlman. When Norman Felton said Man from U.N.C.L.E., and we all thought that was brilliant, and we said, okay, let's put it aside. We'll worry about what it means after. And they said, well, but they're going up against an organization. What should we call it? And Perlman shot his hand up and said, I've got it, Thrush.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, that's brilliant. He says, no, I really have it.
And on that bombshell, a legend was created. It's amazing. Yeah, just goes to show with that. Of course, Stephanie Powers was in The Girl from U.N.C.L.E., the one season. Didn't quite manage to take off. Probably ahead of its time, I would have thought, actually, in terms of a strong female lead, with, of course, Noel Harrison portraying Mark Slate, I believe, as that sort of co-companion. Ah, those U.N.C.L.E. moments. Give yourself a treat, Holly. YouTube, or indeed box set videos.
Okay.
DVDs. Arthur, did you ever write in any of your shows anything to do with cheerleading?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I actually did.
Yeah.
It was in a show. It's funny you say that. I was thinking of this just the other day. A show called In by Nine, Out by Five.
Nice. Yeah.
Which was part of an anthology series, and it was to do with a cheerleader who's the stick?
Holly, what do they call the stick? The baton twirler, or is that?
That's right.
Oh, yes.
Baton. That's right. Yeah, that the ends were uncapped, and spies' material was inserted in this poor woman's thing. Yes, that was it. That was about the level of the series. It lasted all of six episodes.
I always feel as though the DVD market has missed out on not releasing or finding In by Nine, Out by Five. Is it In by Nine, Out by Five? Holly, do you have any batons with the Cobra Elites Lincolnshire cheerleaders?
No, we don't.
Just as well, otherwise secret messages.
It's a good hiding place now.
Good hiding place. Very good. Yeah, critical. Go to you on this one, Holly. I mean, I always thought of cheerleading as being very American. You know, as American as Mom's Apple Pie, the whole range of things. I mean, Arthur, I don't know, cheerleading in yourself, is it something we should say, if something was quintessentially American, it would be cheerleading?
Yes. You know, the other day, though, Annette and I were watching a film that was done in Sweden. It was the pilot episode for Wallander, the series, the wonderful Swedish detective series. And they had done a two-hour movie pilot kind of thing. And it opened with a marching band playing the Stars and Stripes Forever. Mm-hmm. And we, of course, didn't say anything, but we thought, they placed it in the United States and now it'll move back to Sweden. No, it was in Uppsala. It was a marching
just
band.
Just goes to show. But I mean, Holly... Yeah. Is it something that you kind of still think of as American, or as, I mean, we've just seen, and it's something I will actually send over to Annette, a wonderful BBC Lincolnshire produced or coordinated Lincoln lip dub thing, which was a sort of nine-minute wonder that was produced. Do you sort of feel American when you go into your cheerleading mode, or is it a case of, no, you're Lincolnshire lass and proud of it?
No, definitely Lincolnshire lass.
Right.
Yeah, it's just getting so much bigger in this country now that it doesn't seem an American thing.
So, permeating the whole thing, Claire, do you think we can see your team of solicitors and legal bods trying out for the Cobra Elite Lincolnshire cheerleading squad?
It's taken me to a really interesting visual place, thinking of some of my colleagues and
we
partners.
We will cover it on air.
I think it will be something to think about.
Ed, questions for Arthur from yourself, because before we actually turn to a really fascinating letter, an audio postcard from Annette Andre, it's all about driverless cars this month. Yeah, driverless cars.
Extremely dangerous, I would imagine. Arthur, what's tickled your fancy? Happy. What's tickled your fancy in the last 7 days or so? What have you learnt, maybe?
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting you ask. The thing that I have learned in these last 7 days is that you can take a look at an animal. We have three cats. They're as different as could be. And you think you know this animal, and I'm just musing on this one day when one of the animals took a look at me, and I suddenly realized that you can see fear go across the face of a furred animal, and it isn't just something in the eyes. I know this sounds rather bizarre, but we have one male and two females, and the male... Well, they're all fixed, but the male asserts his authority over one, a black one called Sulu, which in Swahili means monkey, and he goes after her all the time. But the other one, Babu, which is revered one in Swahili, is very quiet and just sits, and she looks at him in a certain way, and this is the one time it did happen. He became transfixed with fear. I looked at his face, and I thought to myself, you can miss these moments, but it was just fear, absolute fear, and he froze, and she looked away. And I thought to myself, there are universes we know nothing about. We live with people, creatures, furniture, this, and one defining moment tells you something that if you had missed it, that would be it. You'd probably never see it again. Now, this sounds crazy, I know, but I have thought about this time and time again.
It doesn't sound crazy. I'm with you on this. Well, it's like a shooting star, isn't it? You almost turn around to tell the person next to you to have a look, and they've missed it. It's just something that you've seen. Yeah.
Now, the terrible thing is, and this is where what passes for intellect comes in, I have spent this past week trying to figure out what this could mean.
Don't try to anthropomorphize. Just let it go.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, therein lies our madness. Rather than taking the moment for the purity that it was, I'm trying to...
What you want to worry about is if Annette gives you a look just like that, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that you won't pass this on to her.
I have enough trouble. That's okay. You know, I have to do some judicious editing on the podcast. Or maybe not. I don't know. Could be a Machiavellian plot. Arthur, it's been fabulous as ever, touching base with a good self. I'm going to ask Holly to throw those last two questions at you. So off you go, Holly. I know you can do it. Cheerleading persona and drama graduate, performance graduate, of course, from the University of Lincoln to the fore. Go, girl.
Have you had a lovely telephonic...
Conversation
link with us today.
Yay!
I'm trying to remember what the exact words
are. Yeah. You can riff. It's
sometimes
okay.
Sometimes English is tough. I know it's a rough language. Yes, I have. I've had a wonderful time, as always.
So
yes.
The next critical question is...
And are we hoping to have you back sometime in the future?
Mm-hmm. I certainly hope you will ask me. I'm ready and waiting.
Man from Uncle, fantastic. Now, do not put the phone down. Pass it over. We got 9 seconds to move from yourself, Arthur Weingarten, to that wonderful soul who's going to be talking...
I am out on our porch, so I will have to...
I am here.
You've gone from the porch inside, outside. It's fantastic. I was going to say you got nine seconds before
I'll say goodbye to you all, and again it was a pleasure.
We will momentarily, Arthur, close channel D on that particular one. So okay. Close channel D. And just press this button here.
Annette Andre, ace actress and top correspondent, now live on the Midweek Drive with another audio letter from upstate New York.
Yay! Fantastic. And it's driverless cars, Annette, as we shared in the whole thing. Let's quickly work through this. Claire Parker, any experience of driverless cars?
I'm very interested in this.
Yeah, and Holly, driverless cars? No. Ed?
Well, I was once in a petrol station in the West Country, and a Jeep reversed itself away from the petrol pump and right over the barrier at the other end. Yes. Driverless car.
Driverless car.
By accident, but it was a driverless car.
Annette, what have we got to learn about driverless cars?
Well, what Ed just said sounds exactly what we will learn about driverless cars. I will tell you. This one's called... Can you hear me all right? Because I'm on the speaker phone.
You're fine, actually. I think is it thumbs up or
better than usual, actually.
Okay. I'll leave it then, because it's easier. Okay. this one's called Car 54, Where Are You? If it's true that every dog has its day, then fingers crossed for the Luddites still amongst us. And if a report I wish I hadn't read last week is accurate, then never will the spirit of those rebellious 19th century men and women be needed more than in the very near future. For those of you short in the tooth, the Luddites were bands of artisans, weavers, woodworkers, and other handcrafted trades whose livelihoods and independence were threatened by the mechanization of factories at the start of Victorian England's industrial age. Now, when this small planet is under siege on all fronts, from the ecological to the economic, we're suddenly facing a revolutionary and, I believe, dire threat to both life and limb. And unless I'm gravely mistaken, once again, the only winners in this Armageddon in the making will be, who else but the lawyers? Well, what's this woman banging on about, you ask? Well, since you ask, it's the driverless car that'll be turning into your roundabout sooner or later. From Mercedes to Toyota, car manufacturers are falling over themselves to take you out of the driver's seat. Indeed, these self-driving vehicles have been around for a while now, zipping along city streets and highways, mostly under the radar. In fact, Google has been using driverless cars in experiments to map San Francisco's streets and highways for more than 4 years. Still, the stuff of science fiction to most of us, who dissolved into a mass of nerves taking the dreaded driver's exam, the engineers and manufacturers behind this latest incarnation in people moving are convinced that a hands-off trip in the family jalopy is exactly what's needed to prevent eventual total gridlock in cities around the world. In their utopian concept, gone is the endless circling the streets hunting for a parking space. Instead, your car drops you at your destination and scoots off to some designated location to await your summons, much like a taxi stand at an airport. Another plan suggests that the car is picked up by a robotic minder and whisked off with other vehicles to be stacked like a row of shopping carts. According to these seers of our municipal futures, gone will be the inner city parking lots to be replaced by parks and playgrounds. There'll be fewer traffic lights because sensors in cars will coordinate traffic by communicating with sensors in the street grids. And they predict there'll be far fewer traffic tickets issued because, and here I quote, cars will be smart enough to know where they should and shouldn't go. City planners and software creators claim that cities will have narrower streets because the need for parking spaces will be a thing of the past. Our air will be cleaner because we'll be using less petrol searching for parking. And by doing away with those vast parking areas needed for the huge box stores like Walmart, the pundits say thousands of acres of reclaimed land can be used to produce cheaper housing. Digesting these expert accolades in favor of having a driverless Lexus SUV bearing down on me in pouring rain makes me pause to consider that perhaps I'm being hasty in condemning this scheme as lunatic. After all, how could a Texas University think tank with the comforting title of the Autonomous Intersection Management Project, who produced the report I read, be so certain that the cars of the next decade will be smarter than the average person unless they knew scientifically what they were on about? To To prove the practicality of automated autos, manufacturers have been conducting a series of hands-off tests in cities around the world. Although the early results are being kept under wraps, I can report that an Audi A7 sedan was spotted recently meandering its driverless way along the narrow and congested streets of Old Jerusalem. Perhaps Audi overlooked building an oops default into its software, or by mischance the carmaker plucked an A7 of less than average wattage off the production line, but the test car blundered into a group of ultra-Orthodox Jews in the midst of their Sabbath prayers. With unerring accuracy, the Hasidic vigilantes unfurled a barrage of stones at the sacrilegious Audi, seemingly unimpressed that no one was behind the wheel. We've come to accept, or perhaps ignore, the reality of robots in our daily lives, from assembling cars to moving canned peas in warehouses the world over. And for every robot on a factory floor, you can count on 4 to 5 ex-workers queuing up for unemployment benefits. But what about the driverless impact in areas we've taken for granted as being immune to change? For example, how will Hollywood adapt to driverless cars? Would Thelma and Louise have lost anything without Thelma or Louise behind the wheel as their car sailed into the horizon? Or would there be the same audience connect to French Connection without Gene Hackman laying waste to New York traffic as he chased an overhead subway train? And while we're on the subject of change, how many of us would like to hail a black cab and discover, in place of Alfie behind the wheel, a neatly lettered sign assuring dear rider that this taxi has done the knowledge. So, not to worry, love.
Splendid.
On a personal note, I recall a time in my life when the reality of a driverless vehicle would have been devastating. I was filming in Los Angeles in the 1960s, a difficult shoot made all the more unhappy by the long hours of filming late at night. I returned to my hotel room bleary-eyed and zombie-like, turned on the TV, waiting for my fevered brain to be dulled into sleep by the inane reruns shown at those hours. But one night, instead of sleep, I found myself laughing hysterically at a half-hour sitcom called Car 54, Where Are You? The lead characters were two New York City cops, one smart, the other thick as a plank, who rode around in a patrol car and were always in a cock-up of their own making. Well, think of the Three Stooges minus one, and you can understand why I hated myself in the morning for laughing so uncontrollably. They left weight of 54 in each episode. Car 54, where are you? You got me through a rough patch. But how could they have made that show with those two wonderfully wacky coppers behind the wheel if Car 54 didn't need the comic talents of Joe Roth and Fred Gwynn to take me along for the ride?
That sums it all up perfectly. I momentarily sort of didn't catch the Car 54 thing. We had a little bleep in all sorts of ways, but Car 54, where are you? Well, let's just quickly put it around the team, because I updated, obviously, the Facebook line. You actually got Claire. Annette was obviously talking there about joy for lawyers and solicitors. What have you actually had? Driverless cars. Is there something that appeals to yourself?
Well, I travelled with caravan from Cromer to Lincolnshire yesterday, and the driving that we saw as people tried to get past us and pull out in front of us, etc., was quite intriguing. In fact, my husband does like to tell other people what he thinks of their driving as he's driving along. In his own way.
Expressive.
He's expressive, certainly, yes.
Does he gesticulate?
It has been known.
Has been known to gesticulate.
So I have to say that so much of accidents is the idiots on the road, isn't it? It's drivers rushing around everywhere, not paying attention, thinking they own the road, etc.
So should they be replaced?
No. Oh. But I can see the attractions.
Okay. Holly. Driverless vehicles, driverless coaches.
Really interesting. Yeah. It just would make the world such a weird place, though, with all these driverless cars.
And how's a computer going to say, you won't believe who I had in the back of my cab last night? Don't go south of the river after midnight. Sorry, it's just not it. Ed?
Well, I'm going to say no as well, because I think, you know, I know a lot of driving instructors, and frankly, it wouldn't be very good for them, would it?
Good point.
No.
There we have it, Annette. It seems as though the general view is that we're again the notion of this creeping technological automation that probably we won't have any.
Since I read the report, I can't help talking about it, and I keep coming up with things like, but you know, when they take the cars away,
yes,
and they put them somewhere or other, or the cars go off on their own, put the. Then you're summoning your car back to collect you,
yeah,
and they're trying to get out of all the other cars that have been sent away from other people.
Well, automatic valet parking or get Kit from Knight Rider on the case. Either of those two options. You know, as long as it'll talk to you, that's the important thing.
They won't. You know, they're going to have people who can't drive who will also have a car.
As we said to Arthur about the fear of the fearsome expression on the cat's face, don't worry, just let it go. It'll be all right. That's the important thing. It's been splendid as ever. We've got Michelle Monroe coming up very shortly. You're about 5 minutes late if you're waiting for Michelle Monroe to give us this little week's choice. But Ed, last two questions for Annette, please.
Annette, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the midweek drive today?
Oh, yes, I usually do, and it's always better when you've got something that's a little bit humour, you know, with humour in it.
We like to think that's what we script the show for, basically. It's very good.
Well, you stay tripped or gripped even to that steering wheel, and in the meantime, can we look forward to speaking to you again soon?
Oh, I hope so.
Annette Andre will be back next month, of course. How's the autobiography going? Because we've got a title for it. When's the release date? How are things looking for that?
It's still going, you know. It's not as quick and easy as one thinks. You all start out, I can easily do this, you know, and then bingo.
It'll happen. We're just losing that signal and going into but territory. So we'll say happy trails for the moment. Annette Andre, as ever, we salute you. And it's time to press the which button, Ed?
It will be the Michelle Monroe button.
Another track from my father's Capitol catalogue, and a song from his 1967 album, Invitation to Broadway. This album was recorded at Capitol's New York studios, which were situated at 151 West 46th Street, off Times Square, right around the corner from Broadway itself. Although the album was recorded in November 66, it sat on the shelf for a year before its release. Tonight's feature track comes from the musical MAME that opened at the Winter Gardens Theatre in May of 66. It starred Angela Lansbury in its title role and also featured future Golden Girl Bea Arthur, both of whom won a Tony Award for their performance. The music and lyrics were by Jerry Herman, whose other hit musicals include Hello Dolly and La Cage aux Folles. Despite the presence of Angela Lansbury, there's no evidence of any murders taking place at the theatre where she's appearing. This was the first recording made for the Broadway LP, which my father recorded with just a small quartet of piano, bass, drums and guitar. On December the 15th, Sid Feller added an orchestra to the recording of If She Walked Into My Life.
Did she need a stronger hand?
Well, let's face it, it's the last July 2013 any of us in the studio will ever see, because it'll never come again. Time zone sort of cortex there. It's a fact, you know. Once we've headed off this July 31st, 2013, we'll never see another July 2013 ever again, unless, of course, we time travel, which is always a possibility.
And, of course, the podcast.
Obviously. There
is that, isn't Hi, there? This is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting.podbean.com.
Yeah.
Still doesn't quite get that Podbean thing right, does he?
Randy will be back with us before too long. Tomorrow, of course, we have the Deputy Vice-Chancellor of the University of Lincoln, Scott Davidson, will be with us in the studio. We've got Graham Harper, we've got Arthur McKenzie, we've got a whole heap of other goodies from that point of view. But I'm looking at the fabulous Cobra Elite website, which, of course, Holly is, cobraelitecheerleading.com. And you didn't lie. You did indeed come place second at your very first ever competition. Fantastic. Level 3 team. So great. So did you kind of feel quietly confident? Did you think, yeah, this is going well? We know what we're about here?
Well, I don't know, because some of our students weren't what we really wanted them to
but
work
three
out
of you
as,
but had done the midweek drive. That surely must have helped some
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that definitely gave us a kick. But I think when they released the results at the end, it was such a surprise, because for our first ever competition, some people hadn't have done cheerleading before, some people were ex-cheerleaders, and it was just really nice because it's something we'd worked for such a long time.
You cancelled several shows just to get the practice right. Very good. You know, it's fantastic, and we look forward to that. And if people are sort of inspired to actually take part in this, whether they be legal folk or anyone else from that point of view, where can they actually go to do some more tryouts with the Lincoln Cobra Elite?
We have our official tryouts on Sunday, 6 to 8 at Witham Hill Gymnastics in Lincoln. To find any information about that, you can email us on cobra.elite.cheer@gmail.com, or indeed go on the website cobraelitecheerleading.com, and you'll find everything on there.
I sincerely hope Phil Leonis from Los Angeles will actually take up that opportunity.
It's a long way away.
Charlotte Fortune, we possibly may not connect with, because we still haven't managed to assess a way in which, you know, there's a phone that is over there that Charlotte can use, which doesn't end up charging her extortionate sums of money. She seems unpleasant. We haven't forgotten about Katie Grimason as well. So a little shout out to Katie. And we've also got another little tale to talk to. And of course, Ilana Rain is coming up next, Claire. So that's going to be quite an interesting conversation.
Indeed.